Hello, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Melody will be joining us just in a couple minutes. I am right now filling in for her on her broadcast, a broadcast I think is one of the most valuable ones out there, especially when it comes to economics, financial survival, and I hope you appreciate what she's done for you over the years. I know that I certainly have. But anyway, Melody will join us in a few minutes, and she'll have to bring on the mic. Reports. I didn't know it was going to be coming on by myself the first few minutes. I brought them up myself, but I don't have them in front of me. So she'll bring them with you. But I do want to cover one headline we're waiting. I think this is interesting. This coronavirus hyped up chaos is really affecting a lot of places. Even the U.S. Mint has halted all production of gold and silver coins. And the demand is almost record high. It says just as a premium between physical and paper precious metals prices was starting to fade a little, the U.S. Mint has decided to temporarily halt all production at the West Point facility in New York because of the risk to employees from COVID-19. The timing of the decision to halt supply could not come at a worse time, with the demand for both gold and silver coins soaring to near record highs. Now, you already know that Melody's talked about the fact that silver dollars are coming, bringing a premium of $25 or more just a couple of days ago, which since I've been purchasing silver is the highest price I've ever seen. But now that they quit producing them, I do expect prices are going to be going much higher. And even if the whole, this is kind of odd, but even if the wholesale price of coin stays basically the same, the retail price is rising because they're hard to find. And I don't know what you plan to do in the future with when it comes to purchasing metals, but if I were you, I'd do it fairly soon. I don't know that what things are going to turn around and go back down a little bit in the future, but folks, it's going to keep going up and up and up to the point that that you're going to wish you had got them at a much earlier time. Melody's phone number is still the same at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And again, I don't have the information in front of me about the markets. I wish I did, but I just don't. But I will tell you this, and this is all because of the so-called virus that everybody's panicked over. And not everybody. Some people are getting kind of ticked off, and I don't blame I am too. But could the virus kill debt-laden U.S. Postal Service? It's hard for you and I to imagine that the Postal Service in some form could go away. Since 1775 or so, when Ben Franklin started the Postal Service, it's been kind of a thing that's been ongoing and going. But ever since it switched over from a government-run entity to a private corporation-type entity, they've been struggling to pay the bills. But it's not because they're not charging enough for postage, believe me. I know, with our ministry, we pay postage. Postage and shipping services and costs are expensive now, very expensive. Says the coronavirus crisis has put an extra strain on the U.S. Postal Service, which is already under a mountain of debt. For many Americans, checking the mailbox is a daily ritual, a constant and a quickly changing world that can yield anything from wedding invitations to tax audits to new clothes. But as many ordinary things as the coronavirus crisis unfolds, the U.S. Postal Service, already compromised by a mountain of debt, has a most certain uncertain future. The Postal Service is holding it on for dear life, Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, a New York Democrat who chairs the House Oversight Committee, said last week. The United States, unless Congress and the White House provide meaningful relief in the next stimulus bill, the Postal Service could cease to exist. Now, I know Melody's there, but I want to say this. A stimulus for the Postal Service? That's supposed to be a non-profit entity in the beginning anyway. And I can't imagine how they're going broke with the rates they charge folks like you and I. I know they do it basically for free for Amazon, but that's not my fault and that's not our choice. Why should we bail someone out that can't run a private business? That's not our problem. Oh, it is the sense of getting mail. I understand that. But it's not our. We didn't cause the situation. Why should we be forced to pay to fix it? That's just a question. Melody, are you out there now?
I am.
It's good to have you. I just have to dock your pay a little bit, that's all.
All right. Well, I was debating whether I was going to show up or not.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you did. If you told me, I could have been ready. If you'd been ready, I wouldn't have cared, but I wasn't ready. You didn't tell me, but I was just sharing the idea that the Postal Service may be going under because of coronavirus, and now the Mint has quit minting coins, silver or gold coins. So
some things happening.
Right, yeah. You go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just going to comment on the post office. And there's a lot of things that contribute, and you know, I always question. I mean, why don't they fight back a little bit more? But it was passed that the post office is probably the only entity forced to pay and keep ahead of their pension accounts. They have to be funded for like 5 years, future 5 years. That's billions of dollars.
It is.
And when they started when it was passed that they had to start funding that, like, I think it's 5 years. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've had the exact numbers. They started because they were doing fine in the early 2000s. They were doing great. And then after we went into the 2008, you had everybody stop all their advertising and all the bulk mail and specials, and that just dried up, and that really hurt them. And then they were forced, in order to pay their pensions, 5 years in advance. Now you have Bezos, you have Amazon, that's made a deal with the post office. You have people, and you talk to any postmaster at any office, at any post office, and they'll tell you the same thing. You know, Bezos has priority, and he doesn't pay what we pay.
No,
so the increase in rates is also to subsidize him.
Well, but you know, I just wonder, is it because they got a contract, so to speak, with the federal government that they have to do all these things, like meet their...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that is totally unfair, I don't want to say. I mean, they signed the contract, and they agreed to do it. And I hate it for them.
Well, they always do it when times are good.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah, we can do this. That's no problem.
Uh-huh.
And then, bam, you know, then you have the Great Recession, and, you know, and they've been in the hole ever since. And then you got the agreement with Bezos, and, you know, so it's just, you know, of course, people with the Internet aren't sending the mail like they used to.
No, they're not.
You know, that's cut back. You know, with FaceTime and all that stuff, emails and chats and Twitter and this and that. You know, people don't send cards anymore. They send a little cartoon that has fireworks coming out of your birthday cake live.
So, yeah, it does.
So, you know, this is the reason. And I'll tell you what, my postage, it's just incredible.
Well, you know what I sent you yesterday, right? I don't mind telling you this. What I sent you yesterday, you know what it was? It was $54 insurance and registration, all that stuff. Now, I mean, it was an 11.5-ounce package.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But that's where they, you know, they tried to scrape by in some areas. And again, it's, you know, they just whack on the registered and insured, but yet that's the safest. I mean, it's worth it to some degree.
Sure it is. It is.
Because it is the most secure. I mean, millions of dollars of jewelry and diamonds are shipped, registered, and insured on a daily basis. Coins, gold, millions and millions of dollars are shipped this way. It's one of the most secure. It's more secure than FedEx and UPS. I mean, UPS is getting better. They're better than FedEx.
FedEx really
so
is
they still
did,
have
yes.
a tremendous service. But the thing of it is, who wants to? People don't want to pay for it any. People don't want to pay shipping. It's really hard for me to charge $50 for shipping for my clients.
I understand that, but you know sometimes
because
shipping
they'll go someplace. They'll go someplace else and pay more per coin because they're getting free shipping.
Yeah, oh yeah, they think they're coming out ahead. But you know, but it's amazing. Some things, like some products here that we offer through ministry, like shampoo from Vitamir, it costs almost as much to ship it as it does for the bottle of shampoo.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It is.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the gold coins, silver coins, equipment minting them. What's that going to mean, premium-wise?
Well, I mean, what's available, the premiums are going to skyrocket.
That's what I'm thinking.
We can only hope that they come online pretty quick. I wanted to just grab something here real quick. I printed out the production report from the U.S. Mint. It's been a little bit since I looked at this. And let me see if I got the full report here. I mean, this month so far, in Silver Eagles, they've only minted 350,000 because it's been closed. In March, in Silver Eagles, they minted almost 5.5 million.
Wow. Wow.
And that is up in January, which is always a good month. They did 3.8 million. But January is always good because there's pent-up demand from the end of December going into the new year. So I never usually take a look at January because it's always a little skewed. So in February, there was 650,000 ounces, and then we had 5.5. And it's like, well, where did it go? Why is it so hard to get Silver Eagles? But this month is 350. Gold Eagles last month was 200 ounces, was 151,000 ounces of gold. So far this month is 56.5, and we're halfway through the month, over halfway through the month. So premiums are skyrocketing. I mean, there's my 90% silver bags. They jumped overnight by $2 wholesale.
Wow. So did silver rise in price last night too?
No, it went down today.
It's not matching up, is it?
Well, I think, I can just, yes, you can blame the paper traders. Yes, you can do this, you can do that. But, also in reality, too, if, people have inventories at a little bit higher price and silver drops. I mean, it didn't drop that much. It's only down 36 cents today at 15.24. So it really didn't drop that much. So we have, there's inventory that has to be covered in order to sell it unless you hedge yourself. So, which the big guys do, my wholesalers do. So I buy in real time. But I don't think you went over the gold and silver prices, did you, today?
No, I didn't. I didn't have them from you, honey. I would have, but I didn't have them. You go right ahead.
All right. Should I do that now?
You can go right ahead and do the markets and everything. Yes, please.
All right. We have gold pressure on gold down $34 at $1,683. Silver was down 36 cents at $15.24. Platinum was down 13 at $776. Palladium was down 5 at 2,240, so the whole precious metals sector was down. Which gold was also, the U.S. dollar was down 0.23 at 99.79. Crude oil was down 1.77 at 18.10.
Wow.
Sure, that's not Brent. This is WTI. It's a good thing that they made that agreement with Russia.
I tell you what, if they hadn't, we'd be paying 5 cents a gallon now, wouldn't we? I mean, it's good. That's amazing.
It's severe, and I know there's a lot of people that are going to be hurt by that and lose their jobs and so forth, but it's just like, again, this government just seems, you're seeing the real picture of government. No fluff, dress rehearsals. I mean, they're just bouncing all over the place. But let's go ahead and get to the paper markets. Showing the incompetence, and it's just everywhere.
This is hurting oil fields. We know it is. This is hurting them terribly.
Yeah, it is.
But it is helping the people that are hurting for money right now, though, a little bit.
Yeah,
it is helping
them
get back and forth to where they have to go. If they're still working, it's helping pay the bills. If they're not, it's helping them go to the store, saving a few dollars. So there's good and bad to this. I'm tickled to see the prices come down, but I don't like to see the oil industry going under.
No, I don't. I don't either. And I don't think I filled my truck up for a month. Anyway, so I'm saving there. The Dow, and of course this was all due to the reopening of America,
It hasn't happened
and,
yet.
Hasn't happened yet. But the dial liked it. And, of course, there was also comments on a recent vaccine, you know, some positive information. And it's just all lies. It's just lies. The Dow was up 704 points at 24,242. The NASDAQ was up 117, 8,650. The S&P was up 75 at 2,874. 10-year yield, 0.65%, up 0.05. Japan, Hong Kong, London, Germany, they were all up higher, all based on, doesn't matter if the rest of the world reopens as long as the U.S. reopens because we're the largest economy. We get it's just... It's just like there isn't anything that you can even connect the dots to where anything makes sense. But the reason the paper markets are up was due to the reopening and promises of a vaccine sooner than later. But I don't know, Butch.
I know what we're worrying about, Melody. I mean, if they go back to work, it's no big deal. But Democrats want to give everybody $2,000 a month UBI now.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. I mean, anyone over age 16 with an income not exceeding $130,000 per year, which I've never done in my life, and we're going to get $2,000 a month, guaranteed UBI, as long as this goes on. So, hey, who cares about working? I mean, we got money coming in without working or not. And of course, we don't realize in a few months, $2,000 will buy $20 worth of goods. But, you know, that's so what? It's $2,000 coming in. And this is actually what's being proposed right now on the new, I guess, CARES Act. This is from Tim Ryan from Ohio, Representative, and Ro Khanna of California. It's called the Emergency Money for the People Act. Melody, this insanity keeps spreading. You would think that sooner or later somebody figure out this isn't going to work because there's no money there to give away.
They're not going to give any money away unless that stock market falls. And if you notice, the time they came out with the CARES Act, that was when the market was crashing. They're going to talk about it, but they're not going to do it until that market crashes. So you can kind of time it. So if they can keep it up, they're not going to print any, you know, they're not going to do anything. It's all about the stock market. And it just baffles me. I mean, I get it. But yet, that's what it's all about. The only way Trump will be reelected is with the stock market. And although I heard where Biden came out and said that he's absolutely going to have a female.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, he just lost. So,
well, the bookie anyway. Las Vegas say it's going to be Harris. Kamala Harris will probably be the one that does it. Anyway.
Oh, good. Grief. I don't know if I'd prefer Warren over her. Oh my God. Anyway, we're heading into break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. KingsofSawItRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. It is Friday, April 17th. We do have James Corbett coming up here. We're going to start the break a little earlier today than usual, only because we had a little bit of technical difficulties earlier in the week when we did the recording. And so we'll be breaking here shortly. So let's get started right away. And
well, I want to say that it's fun to work with friends like this in radio, because during the break we have some good laughs together. So I don't say it's fun working with you and Todd. It really is. But you was talking about Biden. Of course, now according to the bookies, he's probably going to choose Kamala Harris for his running mate. Michelle, of course, is backing Biden all the way. And would you believe it's only 200 days to Election Day? I know it sounds 200 days. Oh, it's a long ways. How fast does that go by? 6 months, roughly. How fast does that go by?
Yeah, I know.
We're already halfway through April.
Elizabeth, these are just nasty women. They're not even nice women.
No, they're not.
Kamala Harris, Warren.
Amy,
she's okay. She's likable. I'm not approving of their views and their liberal views. I'm not condoning and accepting those. I'm just them as, I guess, their personalities or whatever. So Amy, maybe you could tolerate, but the other two, they're just nasty. It'd be like having Pelosi in there for 4 years. It's like, oh my gosh.
Well, you know, this is not mean to be cruel, but Joe Biden's mind really is slipping. I mean, it really is slipping. He has a little bit of, in my mind, a little bit, it will say, of problems with Alzheimer's, dementia coming on already. His mind is really getting weak, and his body's getting, with that problem, with that disease, you also have a problem with your body functions, and as far as moving and different things. So I think that perhaps he's got some problems. So I don't know what's going to happen in this election. I really don't know. I don't know if some of this stuff was not planned just to make Trump look bad. I have no idea. See, I mean, we do know this for a fact. They've been beating after him ever since he got elected. I mean, they've been after him with impeachments and Russiagate and on and on and on ever since he got in office. Whether it's planned that way or not, it's been a constant beat on him. You know that.
But you know what? If you believe that it's all by design, which I do, everything makes sense. You can connect all the dots. Because by them beating up on him as much as they did, it only strengthened his base.
Yeah, it did.
And for whatever, and so no one can. So going into this election, I mean, it's then he's there as they want him. That's just my view. And with Biden, if they really wanted him to beat Trump, they would have picked a VP with some strength, not a woman.
So.
Like Bush. Yeah, just like Bush and Cheney. It wasn't Bush that won the White House. It was Cheney that won it for him. And you would have thought that, you know, because everybody thinks that Biden's might not be there in 4 years. So you're going to want to see a vice president that would want to be able to step up and take over. And I don't know. I don't think these three will do it.
So. Maybe should have chose Bernie to run with him. But, you know, back to the real life agenda here right now.
He should have.
Yeah,
he should have.
Yeah, that's what I really thought that may happen. I did.
Yep.
We know that meat supplies are drying up, and I'm just looking at an article here. The supermarkets adjust meat sections as coronavirus cuts supply. The meat sections are getting smaller. So they're trying to make them look like it's full stock when it's not. And with one chain in the Midwestern part of the country called B&R Stores, the price of meats went up 30% in the last few days because it's not coming in. So that's just something to think about. I mean, we knew it was going to happen, whether it's meat shortages or just inflation because of all the spending. It has to go up. 30%, Melody, is a huge increase on a $10 piece of meat. It's now $13. That's quite an increase, isn't it?
It really is.
You know,
and it's just beginning.
It is just beginning. Maybe at $2,000 a month will help a little bit. You never. But anyway, seriously.
I like to order a pound of hamburger, please. And how much is that? $1,999.
We're laughing, but you never know about that. I mean, you couldn't have bought that in Venezuela for that. I was talking to somebody yesterday. This started up a side business selling beef, fresh beef. It's really good beef. $8 a pound across the board. I mean, no matter what it is, steak or hamburger, but $8 a pound, which is highest I've ever seen it. Usually it's running $3.50, $4 a pound that I've seen cut and wrap, ready, put in the freezer. $8 a pound now. And even though the price of beef on the hoof is way down, the supply in the store is not there.
That's the way it works.
That's the way it works. And now produce prices are going to start
like
going through the roof. Yeah, that's it. Exactly right. But so far, farmers have priced about $5 billion of fresh fruits and produce or vegetables because there's no one there to pick them. They're just letting them lay on the ground and rot. That will show up in the grocery store in a week or two also. These are things that we think about the pandemic and people out of work, but we don't think about the fact that the food supply is getting cut off, do we?
No.
And whether you like it or not, it makes no difference. It's happening. And we can cry and moan and complain all you want about a lot of things. But when it comes to putting food on the table, every one of us has to eat once in a while. And if you're trying to raise some children, especially teenagers, you got to have food or they eat the furniture. I mean, that's just the way it is. This is a serious situation, folks. I'm not making light of it at all. This is serious. Many people couldn't afford to eat before because of tight finances. They're going to find it very tough. And now that even the food pantries are drying up with supplies, this could turn into something very serious. I pray that it doesn't go as far as I think it could. But Melody, we used to see, soup lines, you call them back during the Depression. Today we got mile-long lines of people waiting to get canned goods out of a food pantry. It's the same idea. Just this is not just for soup. This is just getting canned foods. Be back in the 30s, they didn't have food pantries. But now we do.
They didn't have checks of $1,200 coming in either.
They didn't. That's exactly right. But now they're lining up to get food at food pantries, which is the same as going to a soup kitchen. It's the same idea. And we think it can't happen again. It's already happening, people. They're lined up to get their soup in a can.
Melody, and you know what? I keep thinking, Butch, that we are the greatest, the wealthiest nation on earth. And yet, look at what's happening. Look at what you're just describing.
Yes.
And there would be more there if they didn't get their food stamps. Well, they don't call them food stamps anymore. They're SNAPs. I mean, so a lot of that has been disguised. So, and when you see lines of people standing for food, this is the wealthiest nation?
Well,
great, you know?
It's really sad.
How did we make America great again?
When people were allowed to be free, and it was free enterprise, they got to keep what they earned, didn't have to pay most of it out in taxes. Yes, there were poor people. Christ said there'd be poor people always. You can't do away with that. But
no.
the average family lived pretty well. We call it the middle class. And even though the poor class lived better than most people in the world lived that were considered poor. It's changing now. The middle class is dying out in America. And it really is. And the UBI is not going to help it. Oh, it may sound good for a week or two or a month or maybe in a few years, maybe a few months, I mean. But once you realize that this is causing inflation, prices go up, they gain nothing out of it. This is a sad situation.
So again, I think it is. And I don't think that it's going to be a while before we truly experience what is all happening in the financial markets.
You're right.
The amount of money that's being pumped in there. They're keeping it all up to levels that people get. You know, they just don't worry about it anymore.
Well, you know, even in Mexico, the Mexican government has been downgraded to one notch above a junk bond, yeah. I guess you say, junk status. It's not just here, it's everywhere, because this is Mexico.
Everywhere.
Also, so here we are in America going down the same tube Mexico is. And people who protest, they want to reopen the economy in North Carolina. This is actually in Raleigh. The cops there, of course, finally got them dispersed. There's 25,000 people showed up. They finally got them off the streets. One person arrested, and one of the Raleigh cop, the policeman that was there, said that the First Amendment, more or less, is non-essential. You don't need to ride for this. I mean, this is not needed. So y'all need to go home. It's not your right to peacefully assemble is non-essential.
Hey, we're heading into a break. Yeah, it's that time. We're heading into break right now. When we come back, it'll be my conversation with James Corbett. So please stay tuned and enjoy, and see you on Monday.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm pleased to be here with James Corbett. Got a little bit of a late start today, but we are here. James is here, and I want to get started right away, but first I want to make sure that you visit his website, thecorbettreport.com. Thecorbettreport.com. He's got some awesome video. He's been working very hard, and things are changing in this world. And again, you can request a complimentary copy of the International Forecaster by going to their website, theinternationalforecaster.com, with whom James is the editorial writer. Welcome, James.
Well, hello. I wish I could say I'm glad to be here, but given the circumstances, I think it's important that we're here bringing this information, so thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time out. You know, a recent newsletter, after quoting Dickens' classic line, in Tales of Two Cities, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And you write, every now and then the world resets. I'm just going to let you take it from there and tell us the significance.
Well, I guess the spur for this particular editorial is the idea that's been going around for several years now, especially in the sort of alternative financial media, the idea of the global financial reset that people have been talking about for a number of years now. Basically, as we all know, the Ponzi, fiat money, phony baloney economy that the central banks have popped up in bubbles, especially over the past decade since the Lehman collapse and the bubble that's been created of artificial reality surrounding that event to prop up the markets, was a Ponzi scheme, and it is coming to an end right now. And people have been foreseeing this and talking about it for a number of years, and the idea has gone around of the global financial reset that will involve some sort of monetary reordering, the dollar losing its status as world reserve and something else coming in to take its place. And I've talked about that, and we've talked about it here on the program before, the idea of special drawing rights by the IMF and these other ideas. But I wanted to broaden that idea out, because I think what we are seeing right now is a global reset, but it is not just a global financial reset. Of course, it is a reset in a number of different levels. And unfortunately, this is playing out right into the hands of the forces of globalization, centralization of control, tracking and surveilling of every person, the advancement of the cashless society agenda, all of these things coming together at the same time, converging on a nightmare scenario that some of us have been warning about for many years. It is happening right now. That is what is this reset is about, because the New World Order, or whatever you want to call it, could never come about until we saw the destruction of the Old World Order. So that requires a gigantic pushing of the reset button. And I think that's exactly what is taking place right now in this pandemic pandemonium that's being foisted upon us on the back of overhyped numbers and an all out of proportion reaction to a largely, although not completely, but a largely, if not fictitious, at least overinflated threat. Why is the world losing its collective mind over a coronavirus, which, let us not forget, is just part of the same family as the common cold and looks to have a mortality rate in line with the seasonal flu, as even admitted by the hallowed Dr. Fauci, who's advising the U.S. government right now. He even admitted that in the New England Journal of Medicine. So why is the world losing its mind? Why are we shutting down the global economy in reaction to this virus scare? I think it is precisely because this reset was coming. It's been coming for a long time. Here it is, and they are pushing the reset button all the way. So that can be a very scary thing, because, of course, we see a lot of draconian measures that are coming about as a result of this. But I also wanted to present the other side of that, which is that we were never going to change the status quo of global centralized control into something more hopeful without a reset. We need a reset. We need some sort of different path for humanity. And that is impossible in times of status quo, everybody going along with the system as it exists. No, we need this sort of moment of panic and chaos and crisis for something new to emerge, but it is what we make of it. We have to play a part in shaping this into a change that can actually be positive rather than the nightmare crackdown scenario that we're seeing playing out right now.
Think we can?
Think there was a possibility, I wouldn't be here, but it is not going to be easy.
That's very true. Well, in your most recent article on the Corbett Report, you wrote a letter to the future. It starts with a dystopian quote from World War I conspirator Edward Grey. The lights are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime. You write, we are damned. And our lot now to watch as the lamp of liberty is extinguished, our burden to bear witness to the final flickering of the flame of freedom. You say that it's almost hopeless, that even on the small chance of the following words survive the coming internet purge, most of us won't understand them because we no longer can use them. Freedom, humanity, and individual. I mean, that's pretty powerful. And you also write a part of where there's a little more hope, but you lament that the darkness is descending.
Yeah. And I don't write these words lightly. I don't put these types of sentiments out there into the ether without thinking about them, because I know that these words have power over people's perceptions and the way that they understand reality. But I can't help but speak the truth as I see it. And right now, I think what has disappointed me most about what is happening right now, the thing that is really concerning to me, more so even than the bald outright power grab and monetary plundering and everything else that's taking place right now on the behalf of the would-be social engineers and world rulers, I expect that. What I did not necessarily expect was that people would willingly accept this, in fact, clamor for it, and snitch on anyone who seems to be going against this groupthink to the appropriate police authorities so quickly, so easily. It took so little propaganda and so little to really upend people's entire lives and to overturn. I mean, I'm sure everyone in the audience right now knows someone who had a business for 23 years and now suddenly they don't know if they'll ever be able to open their doors again because they've already gotten so far in the hole, or people who are on the verge of losing their home, or people who are going to the food bank because they literally can't get food anymore, or all of these, this horror that is playing out right now, and yet so many people are applauding it, in fact literally applauding it with the Belkin any applause phenomenon that I talked about on my Propaganda Watch video series the other week, where people are applauding the healthcare workers. Yay, great, okay, I understand. I'm not against that sentiment per se, but it just seems like it's part of this nightly ritual of inculcation into the new normal that we're being steeped in. And this new normal, of course, comes along with all sorts of things, apps that are going to be tracking literally everything, everywhere you go and everyone you come in contact with, because we have to track any carriers, asymptomatic or not, that are deemed to be carrying this or any future disease that we get warned about. And we have to have, of course, cashless payments, because dirty cash carries viruses, so we have to track everything that you're paying, buying and selling, and we have to insert basically the police state into every corner of your life, and people are going along with it. So I had to point that out, I think, in an editorial like this. And really, it's not even a joke. This really is a letter to the future, because I do think about what kind of humanity is going to be on the other side of a crisis like this. And it's not necessarily pretty. Again, I think we do have time to avert this, but not much. And it is disappearing even as we speak.
You know, it was always the thought that we'd have some sort of a World War III. I think that's coming still. But they've entered an enemy that an individual can't really fight, no matter to the degree of the reality of it or not. They've given people something that they can't fight it. You know, it's invisible to some degree. So how do you, you know, fight something that's invisible? So yeah. They almost have to. I mean, they're brilliant as far as, you know, creating a pandemic and so forth, enabling the country was already divided. Our country, anyway. The world has been divided. It's just not our country. So
yeah. You raise a good point, and you say it's like World War III. I think it is. This is what World War III looks like. In fact, that was the title of an editorial I wrote a few weeks ago in the Forecaster, because I really do think that this is what World War III is. World War I was such a strange and complete break with the way war had been fought before that most people could barely even comprehend it. It completely changed the notion of war and how it is fought and what it means. World War II went even further, extending the mechanization of war and the war against civilians, populations, the types of atrocities that we saw take place in that war on civilians on all sides. I think World War III is, again, so much different than any form of warfare that we've been subjected to before that people don't understand it even as it's happening. And I think biowarfare is one aspect of that warfare that includes cyber warfare and all sorts of other things that we have never been taught to think of as war before. But we are starting to be steeped in that. And unfortunately, the way this plays out, again, in the interests of the controllers or would-be controllers of society, is to frame this as, oh, this was a bio-warfare attack by our arch-enemy boogeymen, the Chinese. It's the Chi-Coms. It's the Chinese virus. They released this, and this, and now it's at first they were trying to squash down the conspiracy theories about this being some sort of bioweapon. Now that is being played up in certain media that is now seemingly fomenting the idea that this is China attacking us. And that's, I don't think this is going to happen tomorrow, but I think this, as I've been saying for years now, I think the long-term 21st century narrative that is going to dominate our century, like the Cold War dominated the 20th century, you had the Soviets, the Red Menace in the 20th century, now it's going to be the Chi-Coms, and it's going to be a World War III type scenario where it's Chinese versus U.S. And that broadly speaking, is what's going to take place. But I argue that isn't the real war that is taking place. The real war is the war against us all, the war against the people by their own would-be misleaders. And we see this by country after country, president after president, Trump included, calling themselves wartime presidents, or Macron saying, nous sommes en guerre, or Boris Johnson and Moon Jae-in, and all of these leaders saying, we're at war against this invisible enemy, as Trump keeps saying, and this invisible enemy really could be in anyone. You might have it, and you don't even know it, because you're an asymptomatic carrier. So everyone has to be treated as if they are an... You have to be treated as if you are an enemy in this war, until you can prove otherwise. And how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to have immunity certificates, immunity passports of some sort, in order for you not to travel internationally, but for you to travel internally, within your own country. Papers, Please is coming. They're already talking about immunity passports within countries so that you can go. And it's already happening in China, as I demonstrated in a recent podcast on the Corona World Order. They've already got the apps up and functioning that will determine through some algorithm that you don't know, and you don't know how it comes to this determination, but it gives you either a green or a red code. And if you have the red code, it means you are not allowed past the gates of your community or wherever they set up the checkpoints. You have to go home and self-isolate. If you get a green code, then you can proceed. That is the way that the world is heading right now, and that is everything that I've been warning about for a decade plus now at the Corbett Report, and people have been warning about for decades and decades, this new world order. Here it is. This is what it looks like. It is World War III, and it is being waged against you.
You know, in a twist of emotions, reminiscence of a scene out of Orwell, you say you're here to say resist, struggle, fight. You remind readers that they're not cogs in a machine. They're not born under the authority of another. They do not need permission to buy or sell or to assemble or to speak their mind or to leave their home. And, so are you resigned that this is our children's and grandchildren's future, or...
I'm not resigned to it. Again, I wouldn't be here saying this, and I wouldn't be trying to do what I'm doing if I didn't think we could avert this, but it is going in that direction, and never more quickly so than it is right now. This is one of those inflection points where I know it sounds grandiose, but it is true. The future of the human species is being determined right now. It is playing out, and if we simply acquiesce, if we simply go along with this, then there is truly no hope for humanity. And as I say in this letter, the term sheep, the term sheeple, has often been used to describe people just going along with the herd, and they're going to do whatever the shepherd tells them to do. Well, if that is the case, then that is the future of humanity. We are sheep to be fleeced when need be and slaughtered when need be by the shepherds. And if people just lay down and take it, then that is what they are implicitly saying they are.
Can you look to any one person that perhaps, and I agree with you, we have to get to the rubble before anything good can come out of it. But do you see any one person, or perhaps that person hasn't been exposed yet as far as a leader? Or will there be leaders in various parts of the world?
Leaders in the struggle for resistance against this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like to think that is not what we should be looking for, because to my mind, it is this need for leaders to tell you what to do, which is exactly the problem that has led us to this point of crisis. It is people looking, when will a leader appear to tell me what to do so that I can do it and then everything will be better, is precisely what has gotten us into the situation that exists right now. So I find it disheartening to see that even in my own audience, people, James, you need to be a leader and step up and lead the people in some sort of uprising or something, as if it falls to a Canadian English teacher in Japan to lead some global uprising. But even so, no, the very idea that people need a leader to tell them what to do is exactly, I think, the problem itself. And because of that, I've just recorded a video that will be going up shortly, so it might be up by the time people are listening to our conversation. But I just recorded a video in which I just empowered everyone who's listening. I just gave you a special digital badge. You now, I have officially declared you the leader of the resistance in your area. You are now empowered. You have just been deputized. You are the leader in your area, in your home, or in your community, or in your city, or in your county, or in your state, or in your country. You, it is now on you. You are the leader. You go out there and you lead the resistance. And you know what? The best way to lead a resistance against a complete lockdown of the economy and throwing millions of people out of work on the basis of this boogeyman? Going out of your home. Defying orders, disobeying. It is going to be necessary for us to disobey official orders, as now more than ever. And if we don't do it now, when it is still possible, then it will be impossible very shortly as the bars of our police state prison get slotted into place. And I want people to really think about that. Disobeying these orders are going to happen at some point. And it's not going to happen when some leader comes along on a white horse and starts, you know, slaughtering the bad people or something. That's fantasy. That is comic book fantasy that you've been given to lead you astray. No, you are the leader of your own resistance. The lockdown is happening in your mind. And the best way to combat it is to walk outside. The lockdown ends when you walk outside.
We as human beings, I mean, don't human beings need, isn't it just a human that need to be led?
If so, then we are sheep and we deserve what we get.
Hmm. Well, you conclude your letter with a ray of hope, as you're right, but remember this, as long as the blood of your forebears flow through your veins, the lamp of human freedom shall not be extinguished forever. And again, that is also very powerful and very... You know, I become almost, I just don't have anything to say because we're just at this point in time. I think everything's, I don't know, has everything been said? You know, to the point where those who will not awaken and accept what we're going through versus those who do, I mean, is there any more waking people up?
Yeah, I don't want to get too pessimistic about that because it is certainly for someone like myself or yourself who has been talking for years and years and years about these issues and have been dismissed or marginalized or called a conspiracy theorist or you're exaggerating or it's not so bad. We've heard it all for many, many years and here it all comes along and unfortunately, I mean, there is absolutely no satisfaction whatsoever in being proved right. In fact, it is the worst nightmare. I wish fervently with all my might that I was wrong about what I've been saying, but I am not. And so it's easy to get discouraged and say, well, you know, the stupid sheep didn't listen, so now, you know, it's too late. But I know that this message is reaching more people now than ever before because we have actually been afforded this sliver of a chance of actually reaching people through media, even controlled media, like YouTube now is a controlled platform, and they are going to be purging people on the basis of not going along with the coronavirus group think. It is coming. But in this window of opportunity, I know I'm reaching more people than I ever have before. There are new people who are hearing my voice for the first time, and it is happening. Now, is it happening quickly enough? Is it happening on a wide enough scale? Are enough people going to take this to heart and actually do something? Step outside their home? Defy orders? That remains to be seen. And as I say, chances are not looking that great. But at any rate, it is still there on the table. And so I think we have to be putting this message out even more forcefully right now in this window of opportunity than we ever have before. Because this is when the chips are on the table. This is when the game is being played for all the marbles right now. And we are not we are not spectators in this. We are participants, each and every one of us.
You know, I said the other day, you know, from what I do and where I'm at, I know I'm here for a reason. If you look back in your life, I think each and every one of us, we can put the pieces together, the puzzle together, and we come up with a picture. And I do believe, I mean, ever since a little kid, I always knew I'd be in, don't ask me, maybe it was a dream or whatever, and I'm not, I knew I would be here. It would involve a revolution, whatever you want to call it. And my whole life, here I am. And not that it's, you know, profound or anything. It's just, I think each and every one of us is in a place where we're supposed to be. And we got about 2 minutes left. James, would you like to finish up the program with some final thoughts?
Well, let me just say that I am trying to put out as much material as I possibly can, because as I say, I know that the crackdown on this information is coming. That's what they were talking about in the Event 201 simulation of a globally spreading coronavirus pandemic that they held in October 2019 in New York. The Johns Hopkins Institute, along with the Center for Health Security, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, etc., put on a simulation of a coronavirus pandemic last October. And in that simulation, as they played out, and 65 million people ended up dying in their simulation. But one of the things that came out is they talked about internet shutdowns. Maybe that's not the way to go, but we certainly need to make sure that we're getting appropriate information out on the social media channels, and we have to crack down on misinformation online. It is coming. They are going to start purging voices. So while that is happening, I'm putting out as much as I possibly can. I hope people are getting this material and hopefully spreading it to others, because as I say, if there was ever any time to reach new people with this material, it is right now. So I hope people will take advantage of the resource while it remains, but don't look for me on controlled platforms like YouTube. CorbettReport.com is the place to go for my work, because as long as I have a place on the internet, it will be there.
The CorbettReport.com. James, thank you so much for joining us. As always, I appreciate your views, your insights. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Don't forget to pencil that on your calendar.
I will.
And listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs, or visit our website at dgscoins.com. We'll be back on Monday. And be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.